Today we are supposed to start Quantum Chaos. Just before starting that, I just want to talk very briefly about ergodic hierarchy. Like, everyone knows what is ergodicity, right? Can anyone explain?
Every point in the phase space is equally likely. Something like that, every point in the phase space is visited at least. Maybe I forgot.
Yeah, the
there is a the, time we can yeah. go very close to every point.
So yeah, the statement about ergodicity is like the time average of any Lebesgue measurable function is equal to the space average almost everywhere in the phase space. So there is a ergodic hierarchy, and ergodicity is at the lowest end of this hierarchy. Then there is something called mixing. I guess no one would have heard about mixing. There are five things in this hierarchy. Ergodicity is at the lowest end. And then there is weak mixing, strong mixing, Kolmogorov type systems, and Bernoulli type systems. Now, every system that is ergodic need not necessarily be weakly mixing, and likewise for the rest as well. So every Bernoulli system has follow all these other properties, but like other weight is not true. Like you can see the subsets. So in general, like in chaos theory, many times you will hear about ergodicity and mixing, and people may assume that okay, ergodicity means chaos or mixing means chaos, but this hierarchy tells something more to that. So, like, I'll briefly explain what are them, not in detail, but strong mixing is necessary for chaos. Whether it is a sufficient condition or not isn't still known. On the other hand, Kolmogorov systems, which are called K systems, and somewhere they are equally written as K mixing. This is known to be sufficient for chaos. But is it necessary or not? That is not known. So in the sense, is there something, I mean, in between maybe strong mixing and Kolmogorov that may be necessary and sufficient or something? Like, this is still a question. So ergodicity, we all know mostly. As I described, it just means this is equal to this, where this is infinite time average and this is base average. And this should hold almost everywhere. That means there can be a set of zero measure where it does not hold in the phase space. This is ergodicity. Next, strong mixing, intuitively, like mathematically there is a complicated definition, but intuitively strong mixing is like, for example, if you take two liquids and mix them, so, and stirring is your, suppose, your dynamical like evolution. So the concentration of one liquid in the in this like mixture, it is uniform everywhere in the mixture itself, in the sense that you have a large amount of liquid A and liquid B, suppose you mix the two and then you stir. Initially the concentration everywhere of liquid A in the mixture will not be same everywhere, right? But as you go on stirring, it will reach a uniform concentration. So that is a strong mixing, just intuitively I am explaining. While weak mixing is like you allow for small fluctuations to occur in between, like there might be small regions in the liquid where the concentration is not same as, but these fluctuations should be such that they tend to have like these fluctuations tend to average out in as time tends to infinity. So that is strong mixing and weak mixing. So in terms of like measure theory, like for example, I'll just write the definition of strong mixing. If anyone is interested, you can go and look it up and we can discuss later as well. But the definition is, suppose mu is any measure here, so, and Tn is your dynamical math, this is equal to the measure of B times the measure of A, where A and B are subsets of the phase space X. Mathematically, this is what a strong mixing means, and likewise, allowing for fluctuations, there is a definition for weak mixing. So now, this strong mixing criteria is necessary for chaos. Weak mixing doesn't, like if a system is weakly mixing but not strongly mixing, then the system is not going to be chaotic. The strong mixing is necessary for chaos. Whether a system which is strongly mixing but not Kolmogorov, if it can be chaotic or not, that is still not well understood. So, for K mixing or K systems, this is Kolmogorov system. Thing is, there can be a way to define entropy of a dynamical system. So, there's something called Kolmogorov-Sinai entropy. In short, it is called Ks entropy. So if the Ks entropy of the system is strictly positive, then the system is Kolmogorov or K mixing. And these systems are guaranteed to be chaotic. And I don't know if it has been rigorously proven or not, but in general, like the sum of the positive Lyapunov exponents of any system is equated to Kolmogorov-Sinai entropy of the system. So if we also know that if the system has any, if there is any positive Lyapunov exponent, and the system is chaotic. So these are K systems, and Bernoulli systems are at the topmost level of this hierarchy, which are most chaotic in a way. And one of the most famous Bernoulli system is Baker's map, which you can and Bernoulli systems are obviously chaotic because they are a subset of Kolmogorov. So I just briefly wanted to discuss this ergodic hierarchy. It is rarely mentioned anywhere, and people assume that okay, ergodicity plus mixing generally imply chaos, but here it is not 100% clear yet. Like, it is still kind of an open question that way, whether it is efficient or not. Next, we'll start quantum chaos. So I guess many of you would have heard there is not a definite way to define chaos in quantum systems. Like, what are the reasons we cannot define quantum? Like, there's a way to define chaos in classical systems. We studied that. But we cannot take that concept into quantum mechanics to define quantum chaos. And why that is the case? Like, in quantum mechanically, we have the Schrodinger equation. We have wave function. We study the evolution of wave function. That is one thing. And then we have observables, whose properties we can study. So, can we see any kind of chaos in the evolution of the wave function itself?
No.
Why?
The equation is linear.
Yeah. So, the evolution of the wave function is determined by the Schrodinger equation, which is a linear equation. So, the wave function can't show chaotic evolution. But in general, like, can linear, in general, not about Schrodinger equation. In general, can linear equations show exponential divergence or not? Like, chaos is not just exponential divergence or positive Lyapunov exponent, right? We discussed that. So can linear systems show exponential? They cannot show chaos, but can they show exponential divergence of nearby trajectories?
If we drop that I, it happens, right?
Yeah, so in general, like any linear system, I'm not talking about Schrodinger equation.
Yeah,
any linear,
like if I drop that I, this thing that you want happens.
Yeah, so if you have an unstable fixed point in a linear system, like two nearby trajectories can grow apart, like exponentially diverge from each other, but it will exponentially diverge in an unbounded domain, and chaos requires boundedness. So linear equations don't show chaos, but they can still show exponential divergence. But here, suppose if I take two wave functions, psi 0, two initial wave functions, and psi prime 0, can we have any exponential divergence here, in the sense like the overlap is, or fidelity is one of the measures of distances in quantum mechanics, right? So can this show any exponential divergence, like upon evolution, like, okay, so I have two initial states, psi 0 and psi prime 0, and I evolve them for time t, both of them, so psi prime t and psi t, like the overlap between them. Is there any possibility that they can show exponential divergence even though the system is linear, just like in classical systems?
It should be smaller than something, right? We have inequality for that.
Yeah, actually it is equal to the overlap because of unitarity in quantum mechanics. Like, that is the thing. It is not just, linearity is not the only thing that restricts quantum chaos. I'm just trying to say unitarity in quantum mechanics is in fact a stronger condition. So this will be psi prime 0, u dagger acting on, and then u psi 0, and this is equal to, so in fact the overlap has to remain constant. Exponential divergence is one thing, but like here we see it has to remain constant. So we cannot see any evolution, any chaos in the evolution of the wave function itself. So second is, how about like taking the observables, their expectation values, and making a phase space out of it and studying like taking the trajectories out of the expectation values or something. The thing is, chaos occurs in classical phase space due to the fine structures that these trajectories can make, right? Like all the observables, all the variables in classical phase space, like position and momentum, they can take infinitely precise values, like values with infinite precision in classical mechanics. So that's why you can have a very fine structure that can come out in the phase space. Like you can have two different states which are infinitely close to each other, infinitesimally close to each other. But quantum mechanically, due to Heisenberg's uncertainty principle, like this fine structure is washed out in a way. Which is like, so due to this, if you have non-commuting observables, they cannot take exact like values with infinite precision, right? So due to that, this, the fine structures, like if we try to like plot a phase space with these observables, like there will be a certain variance to these observables. So they grow and these fine structures of the phase space are washed out. So we cannot study, overall we cannot study chaos in quantum mechanics the same way as we studied it in classical mechanics. That's the point here. Like, so next, like, we cannot formulate quantum chaos in that way, but why should we worry about it, like, if we cannot formulate, that is the question. So in general, like, if there are two theories, the new theory should merge into the old theory in appropriate limits. For example, if you take Galilean relativity and special relativity, like special relativity merges into Galilean relativity in inappropriate limits when the speed of the particle is very, very small, right? There is a smooth emergence of special relativity into Galilean relativity that way, or relativistic mechanics into Newtonian mechanics, whenever the speed of the particles are very, very small. But the thing there is, like, the things that we study are, the framework is the same. Like, you have a space-time where you are studying some particles, their position velocities. So framework there is the same. Here, like, we have quantum mechanics and classical mechanics. But study of quantum classical correspondence here is difficult because the framework is very, very different of quantum physics and classical physics. Now, if quantum mechanics is the complete theory, it should be able to predict the things that classical mechanics predict correctly, right? Like in everyday life, we see that classical mechanics mostly holds for most macroscopic objects. So that should be predicted by quantum mechanics in appropriate limits. So that had given rise to this study of different types of quantum classical correspondence. Like, quantum mechanics should be able to predict these different types of behaviors possible in classical mechanics. So how does quantum mechanics predict these chaotic behaviors that we see in classical systems? That is the question. We should be able to reproduce that from quantum mechanics in some way, right? So, yeah.
Is this like when you say, like, from relativity to you get, like, you are saying, like, from quantum we should get into classical, like, when we know, like, okay, this is Newton's formalism, that you should get these kind of formulas. But like in chaos, I don't know, what is the basic characteristic which we should get into?
Like this unpredictability. Chaos leads to unpredictability in classical systems over. But that unpredictability comes due to kind of measurement theory, which is still not understood, right? In general, if you remove measurement, till you are not measuring, everything is predictable in quantum mechanics.
Maybe the measurement theory gives the...
Maybe, like, yeah. Measurement problem is a completely unsolved problem yet, so...
But what I'm basically asking is, so you are saying this unpredictability we should be able to, like...
The exponential divergence of trajectories and unpredictability over long times.
Okay, like...
In a bounded domain.
Yeah, domain. How we are able to get, when from these two we are not able to.
Yeah. So when quantum theory was devised in 1920s and 1930s, quantum classical correspondence was a big issue, right? How do we get classical theory from quantum theory? It is not pursued as much right now, but we haven't completely solved it yet. Actually, how to get classical physics from quantum physics, like predictions of how to understand the predictions of classical physics in from quantum physics, that is still not understood. So one of the formulations of quantum classical correspondence that I want to discuss here is due to UNFEST. So does anyone know anything about UNFEST correspondence principle?
It says the expected values in quantum mechanics behave classically, right?
Yeah, that's right. So that's the prediction under certain assumptions. So we will look at those assumptions, like, and we will see that those assumptions, in fact, look. So the thing is, what you said, the quantum mechanical averages of these observables should follow classical trajectories or classical equations of motion. But it is an evolving system, right? With time it evolves. So it may be true for certain amount of time, but these may not be true for long enough time. So in general, it was thought that the time for which this will hold, this correspondence principle will hold, is probably billions of years. So we don't need to worry. But later on, it was found out that for chaotic systems, this time is very, very small. That I'll show a bit. So that's why this correspondence principle, in fact, breaks down for chaotic system. So let us study a single particle in one dimension. Just take an example. The Hamiltonian will be in some potential. And in Heisenberg picture, like and compute this. So this will, like with small computation, this will come out to be p hat by m. What about this? So first term depends on P, so you can just take the commutator with the second term. The commutator with the first term will be zero. So anyone has any idea how to compute this? What will be the computation of this?
Should be gradient of minus gradient of potential, but something like that.
Yeah, that is right. So, like everybody knows that, or should I do a small computation to show that? Has it been taught in any course?
The idea is you expand VQ in power series and then permutation between Q and P or something like that.
Okay, like it is without that also we can do it. So I'll briefly do it actually. So let f be a test function without an expansion. This can be done and it will be used in the theory of out of time ordered correlators that we will briefly study. So let me just do it. Applying a test function on this and expanding the momentum operator. When you expand this quantity, there will be two terms there. So, like similar arguments are used to say that out of time ordered correlators are like quantum Lyapunov exponents. Like similar arguments in this derivation. So these two terms cancel out and we get using this, it implies that which we can call as the force operator. Just okay, so this derivation is clear to everyone, right? Like the evolution of the momentum operator is minus gradient of the potential operator. So now we take expectation. We take expectation value with respect to some state psi. So when we take expectation value, the position operator evolves like this, and expectation value of the momentum operator evolves like this. Now here observe that this is an expectation value of the force operator, and not like the expectation value is on the force operator and not on q hat actually. If the expectation value was on q hat, then we are sorted. In the sense that the classical equation of motion will describe the quantum averages very well throughout. If we can approximate expectation value of the force operator with this, then dp hat by dt becomes, there's a big if there, so we may not always be able to do that. Can anyone think of an example where this can be exactly equal to this?
Harmonic oscillator.
Yeah, that's right. So in harmonic oscillator, so overall if your potential is quadratic or linear, then this is exactly equal to this. So for harmonic oscillator, you can see that these expectation value of position and momentum, like for infinite amount of time, the classical equations of motion determine the expectation value of position and momentum operators in quantum mechanics for the case of harmonic oscillator.
I don't see the difference. Why in linear and quadratic potentials that will happen and not for anything else?
Oh, okay. So I'll explain that. So we will take, if we take the Taylor expansion of this fq hat, so let just consider these two operators. We have fixed the state psi, just remember that. And for a fixed state psi, so now apply Taylor series expansion. to ask you about you had. So I mean the force operator is the gradient of the potential. It comes for the harmonic oscillator, it happens because of that. But from the Taylor series expansion, you will be able to see that. So first term will be this, right? That is clear. The second term will be
the F is an operator,
right? Yeah.
Treating that.
I mean F is an operator, but when we take expectation value of the
becomes a function that I so in principle what we should expand is f, or you write f of box q plus delta q, something like that, right? F of expectation value of q plus delta q.
Yeah, so then we use this from here.
Yeah, but so that expansion is still and then there is expectation value whole outside f. Right.
Yeah.
F is a function.
F is not a function. Right?
When you put in Q as an input, it becomes an operator. It's like, you know, any potential is an operator, sure, but only when I plug in. But it's also just a function. Like saying V equals X squared, you can interpret that as a function or an operator if X is an operator or a number.
Yeah, maybe that's true.
Because on both sides of those equations, when you put expectation values, it's everything's a number.
Okay, yeah, maybe.
Is it clear? So now the second term will become zero in the expansion, because if I take an expectation value here, this will become zero, right? So there will be directly a quadratic term here in the expansion. Likewise, you can take higher order terms. So now you can see that, like for harmonic oscillator, this will become zero actually. Or like whenever your potential is linear or quadratic, this term will become zero. So this approximation becomes exact. But other times, like it depends how this behaves, and it is a dynamical thing evolving with time. So it is not like if it equals to zero, you prove this to be true, it will hold always. So the assumption in
for harmonic oscillator, it becomes zero by is delta q square.
So V is, I mean, just the potential term is like
the df by d square will become some constant.
No, it becomes zero. F is linear. F is linear.
F is linear. Sorry.
But in general system that they are integrable, so I can go to a good coordinate. That I can make it like something similar to harmonic oscillator, right? So if I do this calculation there, and I say those expected value behaves classically, then I bring it back to a normal coordinate, because in the classical regime, I can bring it back, right?
Yes. So for integrable systems, like it will
work, right?
The correspondence principle will hold for much longer time in general. Like this second term will not grow. But the measure of integrable systems in the space of all systems is measure zero, right? Majority of systems are non-integrable.
But my question was, it's intuitive for me that integrable system has this correspondence, but when I look at this equation, the only answer that this equation has is linear, right? But it's not like evident in this way.
Yeah, but like if you start with a highly localized quantum state, like for example, coherent states, which are the most localized, right? Then initially these terms can be neglected, like will not contribute a lot in the beginning. Like if the potential, the scale at which the potential varies, like just intuitively I'm just saying, if this is how potential varies, then if your initial state is localized like this, then it does not feel the non-linearity, a lot of non-linearity in the potential. But if it has spread out of this size or something like that, if when upon evolving the quantum state has spread out a lot, then it will start feeling the non-linearity everywhere in the potential. So then it will become a problem. So for integrable systems, usually like this is better understood, like this holds for a very long period of time. I'm not saying that for infinite period of time, that I'm not sure if people have proved that, but for a very long period of time, this can be neglected. But for general non-integrable systems or chaotic systems, that is not the case. So like here, this delta q hat, the expectation value, it is a measure of the width of position probability distribution. So Ahrenfest regime you will hear this term sometime, like Ahrenfest regime is the regime in which this approximation holds with just the first term well. That is Ahrenfest regime. It is a dynamical regime where this approximates the expectation value of the operator, but as you evolve with time, eventually this approximation will break down. And assume like the time scales on which significant deviations between classical and quantum predictions arise. Like for that, let us define a time dependent parameter. So QC, I am writing for classical. So if I started with a quantum state, suppose a coherent state, which is localized at some QC0 and PC0. Now I can evolve this equation classically, right? Like evolve these initial conditions classically for the system. And evolve the coherent state quantum mechanically. So this is what it means. So here this should be time dependent actually that way. Yeah, we are just dealing with one particle here, so one generalized coordinate and momentum. So now let epsilon tilde be the threshold for correspondence. in the sense that if epsilon t is less than this epsilon tilde, then this approximation is good enough, suppose. So this will imply the approximation is good enough. Suppose this happens for t less than t Ehrenfest time. Eh is for Ehrenfest. So now that is the thing, that it was initially in 1930s, 27, I guess Ehrenfest gave this theorem. It was initially assumed that this Ehrenfest time, it is called Ehrenfest break time also, will be very, very large, as I said, like millions or billions of years. But later on, like through studies in several models, it was found out that for chaotic systems, that is not true. So several model studies have shown, like in regular systems, this is how Ehrenfest time generally behaves. So a naught is some characteristic action of the system. So in general, for classical quantum correspondence, you would have heard take the limit h bar tends to zero, right? But h bar has a fixed number. It is a constant. You can't take it to zero. So when they say that take h bar tends to zero, they actually mean the ratio between some h bar and some characteristic action of the system such that it becomes a dimensionless quantity. Otherwise, just h bar tends to zero is an ill-defined limit. It should be actually h bar by a naught tends to zero. That should be the appropriate limit whenever you consider that. Now, for chaotic system, in several models, it has been shown that.
Sorry, can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Where is the time scale actually coming in? Because I'm realizing that there's like seconds on the left and nothing on the right. Where are the units coming from?
Sorry,
when you say the Ehrenfest time.
So it is, I'm not equated it actually.
But is there.
It is proportional to.
Okay.
So maybe there is some time there.
Sure.
So. So the Ehrenfest time is for chaotic system has been seen to be lambda is L is just the Lyapunov exponent of the system. This is how the Ehrenfest time scale behaves for chaotic systems. Now you can see that h bar is very, very small number. If a naught is like, so this number can be very, very large, right? So that's why the Ehrenfest time for regular systems can be very, very large. But now this is a log. So it gets suppressed a lot, no matter how small your h bar is or how large your a is. This number becomes very, very small because of a log. So the quantum classical correspondence, like the Ehrenfest correspondence principle, breaks down for chaotic systems in very small time compared to regular systems.
Sorry, why this Ehrenfest time is relevant, is related to this Ehrenfest regime?
This is relevant because like here, the expectation value of the moment, the momentum operator, here I should have, sorry. Yeah, this is equal to this. Now we can equate it to this plus this.
Yes, but
I mean,
side, there's no time dependence.
Actually,
it's time dependence.
Yeah, but
it depends on the state phi t.
I mean, Q hat depends on time, right?
So
there should be a time here. There should be a time here that way.
Okay.
So in every expansion term, there will be a time.
So is it that at t equals 0, we take delta q to be 0?
At t equals to 0, so I had written delta. At t equals to 0, like expectation value of delta q hat is 0. But it evolves with time. So as you take, if you take any coherent state, only with harmonic oscillator, if you evolve, it remains a coherent state, right? But if you take any highly nonlinear potential function, the coherent state will get distorted when you evolve it. It will no longer remain that minimum uncertainty wave packet. So when it evolves such that the width of the position and momentum probability distribution becomes large, then Ahrenfest correspondence principle breaks down. Then the classical trajectory will no longer determine the expectation value of the quantum observables. And it breaks down very quickly for chaotic systems. And like just giving some example, like there are studies, I think by Zurich, there's a moon of Saturn called Hyperion. There is some studies with some approximations to the actions and everything. For this system, the Ahrenfest time in that paper is approximated to be 20 years. So in a sense that in 20 years, theoretically, you should start seeing some superposition or something like that. But that doesn't happen. Like, we know that classically, you can predict the trajectory of Hyperion very well for much larger than 20 years. And then there is another system that we will study. We will see some simulations in. It is called quantum kicktop. It is an experimentally realized spin model with large spin. For that, like, there are studies which show that when the kick, like, there is a large spin J, so, and the characteristic action is approximated with this, and when the kicktop behaves in a chaotic way, this is how the Ahrenfest time scale behaves. So you can see that no matter how large spin value we take, the Ahrenfest time will be going to be small only. On the other hand, if it was regular, it would scale with the size of the spin. So in a way, like, these quantum classical correspondence principles for chaotic system is still like an open question, how to understand quantum classical correspondence. So this brings us to another point, like, okay, we see that quantum classical correspondence is breaking, but we need, there should be some properties which we see in quantum mechanics. If we study, for example, if we take classically integrable versus classically chaotic systems, and then we study quantum properties of these two different kinds of systems, do we see a difference in these quantum properties or not? That is the question. So that is the another line of thought which was finally taken up since this initial methods kind of didn't work in defining quantum chaos. So So the signatures, there are several signatures that have been proposed, and almost all of them have some subtlety or the other. Like, none of them are universal, known to be universal as of now. Like, they can universally categorize chaotic versus regular systems. So in general, we can, all the signatures that are well known, we can divide it them into like properties of eigenvalues of the system, properties of eigenfunctions of the system, and properties of like dynamical properties if we take two different states and evolve them. How does the properties, different observables behave or something like that? So like, how many, like, does anyone know any property for like any signatures so far? Like, just from any knowledge of any of the signatures
that you mentioned before?
Yeah. Yeah, with level statistics, that is one of the signature. The level of statistics is like a property of eigenvalues that we will study. The level like properties of eigenfunctions, for example, quantum scars, that is one thing. Other thing, like eigenfunctions of chaotic systems generally follow ETH. That is another property. ETH is eigenstate thermalization hypothesis, if anyone has heard of that term. So, and then dynamical properties, like, for example, OTOCs, these out of time ordered correlators, which are popularly known as now quantum Lyapunov exponents, they can be categorized as dynamical properties. So we'll see them in next lectures. Thank you.